We'll be fairly brief today. The other day, Ben and Thomas and I were having a discussion, and I made a statement, and Ben says, "You need to talk about that in our group." So that's what today is. What my statement was that I made to Ben was that in the kingdom of God, there is no accountability. The word accountability is not a biblical term. Now, I know we have Promise Keepers and Emmaus reunion groups and women's Bible studies, and we have all these things designed for group accountability, to hold us one another accountable. As one who has participated in a Emmaus reunion group and a men's accountability group much of the time, let me tell you, I know for a fact what really happens is you get in that room with six or seven guys and everybody thinks, "Well, this is good. Nobody's going to hold anybody accountable." And you don't. You really, no one does. But we've made a big thing out of that because it's a big counterfeit. And it's a security blanket to say you're part of an accountability group, and that assumes that will govern your conduct. But the truth is this. The only place that theory is used in Scripture is in Hebrews 13:17, where it says, "Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." The other places in Scripture where account was talking about, it would say so-and-so was done on account of you, you know, in response to you. This Scripture here, that actually ties your leaders to you, not you to your leaders. There are people who have given me the responsibility of watching over their soul or walking with them in a spiritual father relationship. There'll come a day when the Lord will say, "And Doug, can you give me an account of him? Can you, or where were you when such and such happened?" The idea of having to give an account is like Christ did. "Father, I lost none of them except for the one who was destined." He gave an account on each of the disciples to God, you know, before his ministry was completed here on earth. We will all be, as leaders, we'll all be asked to give an account for those who we walked with. But the truth is this, you can't hold somebody accountable. If Jack, for instance, that I walk with, if Jack decided to twist off, I can beg with him, I can plead with him, I can present the truth to him, but it's still ultimately up to him to choose to submit, turn, to do whatever he's going to do. It's his choice. What do you do? How do you hold somebody accountable? Do you chain them up and beat them? Well, I mean, how would, in one of those women's accountability groups or men's accountability group, what would we do if somebody twisted off? There is no way, it's impossible to hold somebody accountable. It's a choice. We as the citizens of the kingdom of God are not governed by law, but we're governed by a character and a culture that is produced out of an image and a likeness. You were created in the image, being spirit, and in the likeness, being the character of God. Out of that should come our nature. Out of that should come, if you want to use the word accountability, you become accountable to your own character of who you really are. Not who the world has said you are, or not who your enemy has deceived you into being. In the kingdom, when we talk about a kingdom, as we've said previously, it revolves around the idea of sovereignty. Now, sovereignty is the supreme, absolute, and uncontrollable power by which something is ruled. We declare sovereigns all the time. We say as a nation declared the people sovereign. We just exercised that sovereignty in an election not too long ago. We can make other things sovereign in our life. Work. You can become a workaholic and your work will govern and rule you. It's an uncontrollable power which will rule you. Alcohol, drugs, TV, sports, roping. We can submit ourselves to many different things, and we do it and we don't even realize it, I don't think. I mean, we're aware of it, but in this season we're in right now, you know, shopping is going to rule over a bunch of us as we start to, as we start upon the Christmas time. That will tend to rule in our lives. But the way they rule in our lives is we make a choice to submit ourselves to that thing. We give it authority in our lives. And so it's the recognition of that sovereignty. But when we're talking about a character and a culture restraining who we are or changing who we are, I'd propose to you this. Which is of greater value? Restraining your activities because of a law that you're asked to obey, or restraining your activities because of your character and culture? Some of y'all may remember me talking about this before, but I've often wondered, you know, as many attempts as there's been to overturn Roe v. Wade, if God's really God, you would think if that was His desire that children not be aborted, that He could get a law passed in American Congress to get it done. The conversation I had with God the day that I was being petitioned to head an anti-abortion movement, and I kind of cunningly said, well, let me pray about it, because I thought I knew what God wanted to do there. When I prayed, I was stunned at the thing God said. He said, I have no interest in a law that will cause people not to kill their children. I want them to not kill their children because they love me. So the greater value is for a culture in which we choose not to kill our children out of the character and nature that's in us that recognizes it wrong, even when we have the freedom to do it. Because God is looking for a nation of people who, when given the ultimate freedom, will still act responsibly. In the new heaven and new earth that is coming after the end of time, we speak of it as being incorruptible. And I've told you previously, what makes it incorruptible are those people who will rule and reign in it. They will act in that time with the exact same nature of God. And that's what keeps it from being corrupted, because the people who rule it will not be subject to the corruption of that. In our relationships in the natural and in the world wants to govern us by contracts and documents, positional authority, all different things like that, to restrain and control our activity. But when we deal with one another, we don't need that. We don't need a contract to define how we're going to act toward one another. We, as the body of Christ, because we have chosen to submit ourselves to the sovereignty of God and then to receive one another, we'll receive one another in our graces, receive one another in our strengths. We are totally governed by the sovereignty of God, or that's what we're desiring to do, is be totally governed by the sovereignty of God, which will dictate our character to reflect His character. And we'll be, you know, Scripture says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When we put to death those things we've been taught in the natural about the need to protect ourselves, the need to provide for ourselves, the need to create our own identity, the need to be our own sovereign, and we submit that to God by choice, we choose. You know, Scripture says that Jesus Christ submitted Himself to His Father even unto death. At any point in Jesus' life, He could have rebelled against God. He had total freedom because He was God Himself, to rebel against what God's purposes was. But by choice, he submitted himself to God's sovereignty, even unto death. That's what he's teaching us. We don't just do the right thing because it's the right thing. We do the right thing because it's a reflection of who our Father is. I think I've told y'all before, my dad died and I was real young, and later on when I was 16 or 17 years old, I would have people say to me, not sure who you are, but you've got to be one of Boyd Allen's sons. They would see something in my voice and the way I talked or the way I act, my mannerism, that would remind them of my father. That is what should restrain us or should govern us in our conduct in everyday life. People should say, my, don't you look like your father? Because we're only doing what we see our father doing. We're only saying what we hear our father say. No one can hold you accountable for that. You, as the children of God, have the utmost freedom. You're free to do anything you want to. The question of what you do and why you do it has got to come down to your own personal choice of being submitted to something greater than yourself and reflecting that very image that God put in you and being your desire to be exactly like your father, to mature into that huios, into the exact representation of your father in heaven. The greatest thing that could be said about any of us is that if people come here and they encounter this culture that's being developed among us, is for people to walk away and say, my, it wasn't that peaceful. I wonder why. Where did they get that type of peace? Where do they find that? What's the source of that peace? Cannot be produced by accountability. It is impossible for us to bind ourselves together based on accountability. The only way we can be fitted together is when we absolutely submit ourselves, lose all of our agenda and submit ourselves totally to the agenda of our Father and allow Him, by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, to interconnect us perfectly the way He's always intended for us to be. Taking our destinies and our gifts and our graces and our callings and putting us in the proper place alongside one another, which will bring the maximum glory to Him, to His being, through our representation of Him. I'm not real sure why Ben wanted me to say that, speak this today, but know this. If we allow on a system of accountability to govern our conduct, we're destined to fail. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as accountability. Everything about the kingdom of God comes by a willful submission to God. If there was accountability, God would have made us all into puppets, and He would have dictated how we were to respond to Him. He created us, gave us free will in hopes that His nature would woo us into a relationship with Him, and that we would absolutely choose and make a conscious choice to come into that submission with Him. So, as God is assembling the mountain of the Lord here in the earth, and as we have our piece of that, let us not look for a set of rules and regulations or stipulations to bring forth the character of God. Let it come there by us laying down our life, laying down our will in order to represent our Father. And let us come at it from total submission to Him without regard to how it affects us. Don't put your peace in laws or regulations or stipulations. We know we're subject to the laws of man. But what I'm talking about, when your character gets transformed this way, you'll live so far inside the laws it'll never touch you. They won't even come close. I mean, Scripture says it this way: the law was given to expose sin. In our lawless nation, our laws are so loose. You know, you can do a lot of things. There are many things that are permissible that you people would never consider doing that are still well within the law, because you're governed by your nature, not by the law. And this is the way it should be in all things. So in those difficult circumstances, when you choose why you're going to do something, let it be because of who you are and whose you are, rather than what the law says.